Let's please turn to the book of Job, the first chapter, the book just before the Psalms, page 569, if you're using a Scofield Reference Bible. We'll be reading verses 6 through 11. Job chapter 1, verses 6 through 11, page 569. We'll read the verses responsively. Now may we please stand, all of us standing, for the reading of God's Word. Take note of the ninth verse, which is the text verse. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job? That there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast thou not made an hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And let's pray. Bless now, we pray, O God, this service. We're grateful to be able to be here. That's such a privilege. Help us not to take our privileges lightly. Help us to sense the urgency of this time, the importance of it, and help us to keenly attune our hearts and our minds and our ears to the message. Bless now our preacher. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'm going to speak this morning on this subject. Let me tell you, if you're growing in grace. Ever wonder if you are growing or not? Now, I'm not talking today about how much you're doing for God. I want to tell you today whether or not you're growing in grace. The devil said to the Lord, Doth Job fear God for naught? Doth Job fear God for naught? I want to say this before I pray and preach. Everybody in this room has an ulterior motive in serving God. Everybody. There's no way that you can take out the reward incentive from the gospel or from the service of God. Think of the scriptures. Come unto me, all ye that are labor and are heavy laden, and I will, what? Give you rest. That's selfish. Not sinful. But it's a reward incentive. Every once in a while, some poor, ignorant soul will say to me, Brother Hiles, is it true that you gave a boy, a little kid on a Sunday school, a Bible because he brought some visitors? Yeah, I said, that's true. Well, aren't you bribing them? In the first place, you don't know what the word bribe means. That's not bribe at all. And in the second place, the entire Bible is on the incentive plan. You didn't get saved because your life wasn't glorifying God. You didn't hear a preacher preach one time, say, God isn't getting the glory out of your life, and you ought to be saved. You said, oh, God needs more glory, I want to get saved. No, some leather-lunged fella got up and told you you're going to split hell wide open, and you saw yourself burning in the fires of hell, and you said, I better get down that altar quick. Now, that's why you got saved, and that's why I got saved, too. And I was afraid to get saved because I was afraid of water. I was afraid to get baptized. Mother told me she'd spank me if I didn't learn to swim. She also spanked me if she caught me near water. And so I went to, we had an old-fashioned evangelist named B.B. Krim. I'll never forget him. B.B. Krim. Old, had a tent, and he was the kind that he just sort of ran by the pulpit every once in a while to see if he was near the subject. And he set up a tent on the Trinity Heights school ground, and a bunch of the churches had got together, went to that fellow. I went one night, he preached on the second coming. And that rascal, that was in 1937. He told me, I told us, that the Lord was going to come back. That was in August. He said the Lord's going to come back before Christmas. He scared the fire out of me. I wasn't saved because I was afraid to get baptized. And I knew if you got saved, you're supposed to get baptized after you got saved. And scared the fire. And everybody in my class is saved but me. Most of our kids got saved when they're 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. There I was, almost 11 years old, wasn't saved because I was scared of water. And that's why I let Brother John, Brother Moffitt, baptized now. I'm scared of water. And he said, Jesus is going to come back by Christmas. Scared the daylights out of me. Absolutely. And I said, Mama, is that right? She said, he said it, didn't he? And where in my house, what the preacher said was right, whether it's right or wrong, is right. And so, the next night, I went back, he preached on the second coming again, and he said, the Lord's going to come with a shout. He said, then some of us are going to be taken, and some are going to be left. And he hollered real big, and said, bow your heads and close your eyes. And I looked up, and he was gone. And I said, that did it. I mean, the booger man's got me forever. And that is so. What that rascal did, he had a pulpit here, and then he had a little rail, sort of a fence-like, this big tent. He had a little rail fence-like all the way to the over the side of the platform. You've seen like that, like this rail here. He got down on his hands and knees and crawled. I didn't know all this. He crawled out of the tent and went outside. And then he came back in the back and hollered, and I wasn't glad to see anybody in my life. I thought that the Lord had come, and I was left. I mean, I was already looking for the water to turn to blood. And you know, the next Sunday night, I got saved. Say, why'd you get saved? Well, because the dear Lord was not getting the glory of my life. I got saved, keep from burning. I don't like fire. And you did too. And so, I'm gonna, but that's only kindergarten. There is a growth in grace, but every step of growth in grace is because of a personal something God gives us. Father, bless the message. Help the folks to listen now. Amen. I'm not talking today about the means of growth in grace. I'm gonna shock you now. You're not growing in grace just because you're reading the Bible more. Now, reading the Bible more is a tool to growth in grace. So you're not healthy just because you eat a lot of food. You're healthy. The health comes as a result of proper diet. See, the diet is not the health. It is a means to the health. You aren't growing in grace because you read your Bible a lot or because you pray a lot. Now, praying a lot and reading the Bible a lot are tools and means to help you grow in grace, but growing in grace is not measured by that. I'm putting you on the scale this morning, and I want to measure your height, and I want to give you your weight, and I want you to listen carefully now, and to see whether or not you're growing in grace. Now, the criterion of growth in grace is not what you do, but why you do what you do. Now, every one of these things I'm going to give you, each of them, is a good reason for serving God. Now, the first thing, the reason that you serve God, and the reason that you got saved, and the reason that you started tithing, and the reason that you started going to church, and the reason you started behaving yourself, was the reward motive. I'm talking about the reward motive. For example, if you serve God, you'll be prosperous. If you serve God, you'll be healthy. I'm not saying that, but somebody said that. Their preachers across the country make a living on that kind of stuff. That's where they preach all the time. If you serve God, you'll get rich. Now, I don't believe that's true for a second. I've been serving God for many, many years, and I'm going to have to do it in a hurry if I make it. But I don't believe that. But I do believe this. I do believe that the first good motive for serving God is the reward motive. Now, as I said a while ago, you got saved to keep from going to hell. You got saved so you would go to heaven. And the Bible's filled with good, wholesome promises concerning reward, the incentive motive. For example, as I said a while ago, come to me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And that's a good reason to come to God, to get rest. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, saith the Lord, and prove me not herewith, and see that I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there should not be room enough to receive it. And that's why most of you started tithing. You started tithing because you wanted to get blessed, and there's nothing wrong with that. God promised a blessing, and you came. My peace I give unto you, not the peace the world giveth, but my peace give I unto thee. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 tells us about why some people are sick. They take the Lord's Supper unworthily. And the Bible said some are sick and some die or some sleep because you take that little piece of bread and there's something in your heart against somebody. You drink that little juice. You've got unconfessed sin in your life. And you sit there with bitterness. You do it lightly. And God said many of you are sick because of that. And many of you are going to die because of that. And so this matter of the sin unto death. I stand up here and I preach. You better watch it. Better watch it. You may bury a little child someday. And you say to yourself, I don't want to bury my little baby. I want to rear my baby. I want her to grow up to be a fine young lady. Or I want her to grow up to be a fine young man. There's nothing wrong with that. That's a good primary kindergarten reason to serve God. There's nothing wrong with it. Now, the sad thing is, most of us stop there. Are you listening? Most of us stop there. We stop with this reward method of serving God. I think this is fine. It's a noble motive. It's okay. Nothing wrong with it. I think it's good. For example, can you recall the first time in your life where you knew for sure that if you died, you'd go to heaven? I mean, can you remember when those nights of worry and fret were haunting you? And the preacher preached and said, if you don't get born again, you're going to go to hell. And by the way, we ought to preach that. I'm not against preaching that. I'm for it. The other day I was reading a sermon, my fella. And he said, thank God we're out of the old hell, fire and brimstone days of preaching. Well, he may be out of them, but those that love God are not out of them. And the Bible still says, the soul that sinneth it shall surely die. The Bible still says, the wages of sin is death. The Bible still says, hell hath enlarged herself. The Bible still says, then shall they see say to those on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. The Bible still says that where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. The Bible still says it. And this old country needs a generation of old-fashioned leather lung, hollering, screaming, bellering, spitting, spewing, stewing, fundamental hellfire and brimstone preachers to tell this old nation, this old liquor-drunk nation, and this old homosexual nation, and this old filthy, sordid nation, and this old soap opera nation, somebody needs to cry aloud and say, there's a God in heaven, and that God in heaven hates sin. If you don't turn from your sin and turn to Christ, you're going to go to hell, as straight as an arrow is to its mark. It's not very popular, but it's still true. Hell is still there. Bible's still so. Heaven's still up there. God's still alive. God still hates sin. And right's still right. And wrong's still wrong. And right's not gray anymore. It's still like it always was. Right's right. Wrong's wrong. Black's black. White's white. And we ought to serve God because we fear Him. We ought to come to God because we love Him. We ought to come to God because we're afraid He'll punish us. We ought to give our lives to God because we want to go to heaven. Nothing wrong with that. I'm talking to somebody this morning in this room. You don't know that you're saved. You don't know that if you died, you'd go to heaven. Let me just tell you, I think there might be a higher motive to get saved, but most of us don't get saved because of the higher motives. I want to warn you, you'll go to hell if you don't get born again. I don't care who you are. I don't care how much money you have. I don't care how big your bank account is. I don't care how palatial your mansion is. I don't care what kind of car you drive. I don't care how much education you have. You don't get born again, you go to hell. You take your choice now. But you say, I just don't believe that. You'll burn like anybody else will. But let me go on now to a little more. I'll never forget that day when I knew I was going to heaven. And then there came some doubts in my mind when I got in college. I think I made a mistake and went to a state university for 1 year. And I sat there for that year, and they bombarded me with that filth and garbage, and I was a young man, and they made light of the Bible and talked about the new morality and so forth. And they made light of the truth of God, and I heard those professors that were supposed to be somebody just day after day after day after day bombard the truths of God. And one day, riding on a Greyhound bus back home from Platt, I said, I wonder if the Bible's true. That's why I would not recommend any single human being in this world to go away to a state university. No way. No one. And as I don't agree with you, you didn't come to hear what you believe. You came to hear what I believe. And you may hear it before you leave. And I'm saying I know I was there. And I know those professors stand up there with their PhDs from the University of Heathenism, and they stand up there. And I said, I wonder if the Bible's true. And I decided to get on my knees and read the Bible through. I said, I can't find out unless I read it. And I read the Bible through a period of weeks on my knees, every word in the Bible. And I got thinking about my daddy didn't believe it. My mama did. My mama seems happier than daddy. And I said, I want mama's faith. And I got on my knees and I said, dear God, from this moment forward, I'm going to take this as being your word. This has got to be the word of God. And the joy of God filled my soul. Oh, my, listen to me. Gone, 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 gone. Yes, my sins are gone. And it's real, it's real. Praise God, the doubts are settled, and I know it's real. That's why my favorite song is why the one Brother Ed sang, and I know why he sang it a while ago. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. I'm saying there is a blessed, wonderful, exciting reason to serve God. And that's because of the incentive method. But when you grow in grace, you rise to a new method. You don't let that one go, but you take another one, another reason to serve God. And this is a part of growth in grace. And that is that you serve God because of the blessings beyond death. We sing, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. There's some folks today that have given up some things on this earth, and there's some things you could have had, you know, you won't have. And there's some places you could go, you won't go. And there's a house you'd like to have. Well, but you know, every time you want that new house, you don't know, you probably never get it. You stop and think about, in my Father's house are many mansions. I go and prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. And so many of us don't have all the things that we'd like to have down here. I mean this. There's some things I'd love to enjoy on my journey. I thought about it yesterday. There's some things on my 56 years on earth I'd love to enjoy. I'll never get to enjoy. I went to the football game tonight, and I got to thinking about that. I love sports, but I stood down at the end. Didn't sit down, stood down at the end. Well, I sat down for a few minutes while I flirted with the cheerleaders. But I called one over and asked her what she's doing after the game. But she said she's tied up or busy. But I was out at our high school football game. I got thinking, now this is not something that I can enjoy like other folks maybe can, because this is not my lot in life to do this much. But fool net. If I got 70 years to live, I only got 14 more, so fooey. And I got millions to live when I get there. And so a lot of us, we get the place where it's, okay, I'll serve God. There's some things I could have, some things I could do, some places I could go, but I want to serve God. And if I do what I ought to do, I can't have all those things, but I'll have them one day. I love that song. There's a land that is fairer than day. Sing it. And by faith we can see it afar, for the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. That's true. There is. And it may be that the person comes and says, I'm going to serve God. I'm afraid He'll kill me. I'm going to serve God. He'll take my baby. I'm going to serve God. He'll put me in a hospital. I'm going to serve God. He'll cause me to have a car wreck. I'm afraid not to serve God. I'm going to serve Him because I want to get out of it. But that's nothing wrong with that. But then there is a little promotion when you get in the junior high school or high school Christian growth. You're serving because of blessings beyond death. I was thinking of that old story. I haven't told it in years. About a fellow who died and went to heaven. And there's folks over here dancing. Just dancing and dancing and dancing. That's all they were doing. Just dancing. Whole big crowd. Millions of people just dancing. I mean, just hugging, dancing, ballroom dancing, and square dancing, and round dancing, and doing the dish rag twist, and the boll weevil wiggle, and all that stuff. And so they were dancing, and somebody said, St. Peter, who are those folks over there doing all that dancing? And St. Peter said, those are Baptists. He said they couldn't dance on earth. They thought it was wrong. And so they're just having all the fun now up here in heaven dancing. And here are some folks over here baptizing. Just baptizing and baptizing and baptizing and baptizing and baptizing. And somebody said, St. Peter, who are they? He said, that's the Methodists. They never did baptize on earth and realize they're wrong now. And now they're baptizing and baptizing. And somebody else are playing cards. Just playing cards. Thousands of folks playing cards. Who are those folks playing cards? Said, that's the Pentecostals. Said, they couldn't play cards on earth. Said, they're having the fun playing cards. But there's a group over there doing nothing. Just sitting there with their hands like that on their chin. Just doing nothing. And somebody said, St. Peter, who are they? He said, they're Episcopalians. Ain't nothing they didn't do down on earth. Well, there's some things that I don't get to do down here, but bless God, I'll get to do them there. I told the college this other day. Tuesday night, I preached in Atlanta, Georgia, and I went to the airport. After I preached, I was right to the airport and flew back. You can get planes out of Atlanta late at night. Not many cities can you do that in. And a fellow drove me to the airport, a very fine man on the staff there. He told me, he said, Dr. Hiles, he said, you'll never know what you meant to me. He said, you'll just never know. But he said, Dr. Hiles, he said, how long have you had this problem with your throat? And I said, oh, I guess had it in Texas a little bit. I've had it off and on for years. He said, does it ever get you discouraged? And I looked at him and I said, son, I want you to listen to me. I said, I'm an American. I live in America. I said, I don't have a child that was shot down on the streets of Lebanon this week. And I said, there's food in my cupboard. And I said, I got one little problem right here, but as far as I know, I'm healthy and well. I said, I've got a son that's a preacher. And three daughters married to preachers. I've got people that love me all over this country. And I said, son, I pastor the greatest church in this world. And I said, my name is written in heaven. Every sin I've ever committed has been forgiven. It's under the blood. And I said, I'm justified in the sight of God Almighty. And I said, God is my Father. Jesus is my Savior. And the Bible is my book. And the Holy Spirit lives in my body. And you say to me, are you discouraged because you got one little spot there that caused you trouble? I said, never, son, never. I walk with the King. Hallelujah. I walk with the King. Praise His name. No longer I roam. My soul faces home. I walk and I talk with the King. I'm saying that there comes a time in the Christian's life where not only does he serve God because of the fear and the reward, but there comes a time when a child of God realizes that this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. And that child of God said, okay, I'll give my life. I'll serve him. I'll do without if I have to, because I'll chunder on the other side. I've got my rewards waiting for me. And then there comes a third step in growth and grace. I ask you, where are you this morning? That third step, and I love this one, that third step is this. And that is, when you decide that you serve him not only because of your fear of punishment and the desire for rewards, and not only for the fact that there's a city not made with hands, eternal in the heavens, made by God himself, but there's a third reason, and that's this. And that is, serve him because of the tremendous self-satisfaction of serving God. Did you ever go to bed at night and you had a tough day at that time, that day, standing for what was right? And you knew in your heart that you did right that night or that day? And you laid down to rest that night and you said, dear God, it It wasn't easy at work today to take the stand I took, but I know I did what was right. It isn't. There ain't no marijuana in the world make you feel that good. I mean, when you said, okay, they laughed at me, but I know I did right. The self-satisfaction of knowing you did that which was right, and that's enough. What a reason to serve God. I don't know of any greater joy. And to do what you know is the right thing to do when the world laughs at you. Okay, make fun of you. Yes, they say. Yeah, little Lord Fauntleroy. Yeah, fanatic. Yeah, religious nut. Yeah, fool. Yeah, you've blown to a cult out there at First Baptist Church. Listen, there's something this old world doesn't know. There's a certain kind of a high that the world doesn't know. And that is when you walk alone. And you know you did right. And they all drank, but you didn't. And they all cursed, but you didn't. And they all took pot, but you didn't. And they all bet on a ball game, but you didn't. And you went to bed that night and looked up to heaven and said, Dear God, I wasn't very popular today, but dear God, I know you're pleased with me, and I know that was right. And I can look at myself in the mirror and have the self-satisfaction of knowing I did that which was right. And there is no thrill the world has comparable to that. None whatsoever. None whatsoever. I often say, I want to live so I can always look in the mirror and see a man. And see a man. There's a fourth motive for serving God. It means more growth in grace. Not only the incentive of rewards, fear of punishment, desire for rewards, peace, heaven, joy, so forth. Not only the blessings beyond death, I'll serve God today because I'll get my reward later. That's an increase or growth in grace. And then the next growth in grace, self-satisfaction. I knew what was right. But I think the loftiest reason for serving God and the highest place of motivation and the highest step of growth in grace is when you come to the place where you serve God for the fact that it glorifies Him and helps man. It glorifies Him and helps man. The sheer joy of knowing you've helped someone else and you've glorified your God. Ever gone to bed at night? I have. Thank God. Across this country. I've gone to bed many nights in a motel room, hating, wishing I'd never see another motel room. I've gone to bed many a night after standing around waiting for somebody to take me back to my room. No way to get there until the preacher gets through counseling. I think I know how some preacher's wives feel now. Waiting and waiting and waiting, and I wait for the preacher, and finally he takes me home after I sit out in the car and wait 45 minutes. I go to my room and turn the light on and walk in. I get on my knees beside the bed, and I said, Dear God, I think you used me tonight. I think you used me tonight. I think I helped somebody. Look all around you, find someone in need. Help somebody today. Though it be little, a neighborly deed. Help somebody today. Help somebody today. Somebody a long last way. The sorrows be ended. Let friendless be friended. Oh, help somebody today. We sing the Backwood Brothers Quartet, that famous group known all over the block. We sing, Each day I'll do a golden deed. By helping those who are in need. My life on earth last night. Yesterday's my birthday. Went to work same time. Did the same thing I do all the time. Somebody said, if you have a good birthday, all my days are good. All my days are good. And last night, after the birthday was over, by the way, I enjoyed the birthday so much. I'm going to have one about every month now from now on. I'll be announcing it. But after the last appointment had gone, I told somebody here in this room this morning, somebody I've been trying to help, and I've cried and prayed that they could be helped. And last night, at the end of the day, I thought I saw flickering hope that I'd helped them some. And I told them, I said, this is a wonderful birthday present for you to give me. And as they left, I said, I think I helped them. There's no joy like that. I wish you knew what I'm talking about. Friday night, I stood down at the end of the football field. One of my problems is I'm thinking all the time. My mind, it just goes and goes and goes and goes all. And, man, I thought of more ways of the night to improve that football team. I tell you, first thing, I ought to be quarterback. I really should. We've got a good quarterback, but he's too young. He's a mature man. But anyway, I stood down at the end of the field, and quite frank with you, until I sort of get accustomed to it, I feel a bit out of place, because I don't go to places like that much. And I was standing down there, and I was watching the cheerleaders as they cheered. It's more exciting to watch them than the stupid players. And I watched the game a little bit. I watched the folks having fun. And I watched the coaches on the bench and the players on the bench were playing. And I heard the cheers and saw the folks having fun. Now, don't think for a minute that I'm being boastful. But I got to thinking, I think I had a little part in making this possible. I remember that night when Dave and I drove out to Kennemuth Township and looked over an old dilapidated building and wondered if it ever could be made a high school. As I stood down there watching the game, I remember the day the deacons went out to a wilderness in Shererville to see if it might could be made possible. And I got to thinking about all the work and the toil and the tears. And then I got to thinking, maybe those boys out there having fun, maybe I have a little part in that. And maybe these people in the stands who are here, nobody is saying, get your cold beer! Nobody's there in mini skirts. Nobody's there in a shorts and a halter. Pray before the game? I guess. They didn't. They should have. I guess they did. I got there, I think, after they prayed. And I never liked to go to prayer meetings. I wanted to go to the game. But anyway, I got there, I think, after the prayer. But I got thinking how wholesome this is. How wholesome. After the game was over, I watched our boys rush out on the field and shake hands with the other boys. And, of course, if we'd lost, we'd never done it. But I got to thinking. I walked over to the other side where the Jim Vineyard's over, and I walked over and a while, and I looked across the field and saw that great crowd of people over there, and I thought, I think maybe I had a little part in making this possible. I wish you knew what I'm talking about. Just to live for Jesus. Why? So it'll help somebody. And glorify Him. I can tell you how grown you are today in grace. The first motive, I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to die. I don't want God to punish me. I want peace. I want joy. And that's wonderful. Nothing wrong with that. But there is something you can tack on to that. And that is, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Him. One glimpse of His dear face, all sorrow will erase. I'll gladly run the race till I see Christ. And that's a good reason to serve God. Okay, there's heaven to win. I'll have to give up some things here and serve Him. But thank God, after a while, I'll have it all. And there's a third step of growth in grace. And that third step of growth in grace is when you say, I want to be a man. I want the self-satisfaction of knowing I'm serving God and doing God's will and doing what's right. And there's that fourth blessed reason to serve God. And I think the loftiest of all, and perhaps the highest step of growth in grace, It's when you come to the place to where you say, I just want to glorify Jesus and to help somebody else. It's when you say, I'm serving God for one reason, one great reason, and that reason is, all hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall, bring forth the royal diadem, and crown him as Lord of all. Let's serve him today. Let's serve him. Let's love him. Let's do our best. Let's build our classes. Let's work our bus routes. Let's tell people about him. Let's serve him. Why? For what he gives us. Why? Because of the city coming later. Why? Because of the satisfaction of doing right. Why? To glorify him and to help somebody else. Our Father, bless the message.